Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, saints. Thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Broadcast. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr., Apostle and Teacher of the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry. As the Lord lead, we are here tonight ready to get into this very deep word. And we're still dealing with the teaching series, Trusting God for Marriage and the Spouse. That's where we are right now. So I'd like to ask you to turn to Genesis 24. We're going to pick back up there and drain some more meat from the text. And while you're finding that, allow me to say grace over our food. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you asking you to forgive us for our sins and for every last one of our shortcomings. All of our faults and every wrong we have committed, whether we know it or don't know it, please forgive us. We ask that you wash us, that you cleanse us, that you purge us, that you minister to us, that you talk to us, that right now while we're in the midst of this fast, while we're in the midst of bombarding heaven, while we are in the midst of seeking you about this subject of covenant and marriage and agreement, we ask, O God, that you fill us with the word of wisdom and fill us with the word of knowledge. We ask that you give us a spiritual understanding, the revelation of your word, and talk to us. Allow all of us to hear you, not just the listeners, but the speaker as well. Allow all of us to hear you. We need to hear you. We need to hear you, for we are not on your level, so we need to hear you. Many of us are crying out to you, Lord, asking you to send our mate forth. So we just need you to respond. It's called prayer. Theologically, you said it's called prayer. When we speak and you listen, and then you respond and we listen. So please, Father, minister to us. Answer some questions. Mend the marriages that are placed on the altar before you. Join those that you have joined according to your plan in the covenant of marriage, and they haven't went forth yet. Please, Lord, give them the heart to go all the way through. Dispense an angel to go into their lives to usher them to the altar. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Again, saints, I'd like to ask you to go to Genesis 24, and while you are there, allow God to use me to read a description of the lesson. This servant of Abraham knew to consult God concerning the way that he met the wife for Isaac. He knew to consult God about her character, the way she spoke, what she would say, how she would say it, and also the way she carried herself. When God led him in what to pray, and he did it God's way, it all turned out just as God told him to ask God about. Have you asked God about your mate? Are they acting as God said that the one he sent would act? Or are you settling? And if they are the ones sent by God, then he deserves the thank you, Lord. Don't get so caught up in receiving the blessing that you forget to honor the blesser. This is part two in the teaching series of Trusting God for Marriage and the Spouse. Grab your Bibles and pens and papers, and let's delve into the Word of God, and let's feast. Pick up on Genesis 24, and we're going to read verses 12 through 28. And it reads on this wise, in the King James Version. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and shew kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Father, in Jesus' name, again, we ask you to minister to us. Explain this to us. Show us some things in here that we overlooked as we have read the scripture many times. Oh, glory. Just talk to us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. It's very important when God is blessing you to study a text that you notice the actions, the examples, the words, the context of the text. Because when you do, it's so much that you'll learn about God and about the way he does things. And brethren, he has not changed. He is still the same today that he was back then. This servant was sent out on a mission to go and seize or get or take a wife for Isaac. Because Abraham, the father, was so concerned about his son's life. And if you were to go further in chapters, you'll see that not too long after that, a couple of chapters after that, Abraham left this world. Abraham died. If you notice in the end of chapter 24, Rebekah died. Brother Isaac was with his wife, and his life was put together by God. God is a God of provision. You know, a lot of you might be wondering, "Lord, do you want me to be alone? Is this how my life is going to be? I'm getting older. I've never been married. I don't know which way to go. I'm tired of settling. I'm tired of meeting people who end sounding sweet. And then when I let them into my life, then I see another side of them. The relationship becomes abusive. The person becomes non-dependable." And we wonder, is this it? A lot of times, when you really, when God uses me to counsel married couples or people that are engaged, about to be married, and they talk about the issues that they go through and might be going through at the time, I recommend this to any minister that God is using to counsel people. The first question that should be asked to these individuals are this: did God put you together. Because when God puts something together, it's going to work. It takes work on our behalf, but it's going to work. It's not going to fail. Because in God, in Jesus Christ, in Him, there is no fault. He will send you the spouse that is just what you need. A man who is very strong and powerful and focused and very serious. God will send you a wife that knows how to bring out the softness in you, that knows how to bless you, to relax in life, to help you to smile and to relax. If you're the type of wife that is a free spirit, you're carefree, and you really don't like challenges, and you don't like confrontations. You just like to live and just please God. The Lord will send you a husband that will protect you, a husband that will be the eyes while you are just enjoying life. Opposites do attract, and that's good and bad. The bad part is a lot of times we try to make a person what we want them to be instead of allowing them to be themselves so that we can get the best out of them. It's very important that you understand when God bless you, thank you, Lord, when God blesses you with a mate, that you allow God to bless you the way He knows that you need to be blessed. This servant was used by God to pray. He stood in the place. You got to understand something. God is able to move and will move when we are obedient and go where God tells us to go. Abraham was used by God, of course, to tell his servant to go. Go and get a wife for my son Isaac. I don't want him to have a wife of the Canaanites, but go to the land that I came from. Go where people are who are connected to me, that I'm familiar with. And get a wife, seize a wife, win a wife, reserve a wife from there and bring her back here. She has to be willing to relocate, because if Isaac were to go there where she is, then Isaac would be in her world and they would not respect her. Why? Because she's a wife. She's a woman who is attached to many people and doing different things. And if you notice in this particular chapter, if you read it before, when the servant went to her family's house, he had to talk to everyone about a blessing that God wanted to give her. God doesn't always include your family in the blessing that He has for you. Thank you, Lord. God said that's why He told Adam to say, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Why? For the reason of marriage. When God joined two people together, the two become one. They no longer remain two. So if you're single and you have a very close family, that's good, praise God. But when you get married, the family has to be put in a different place in your life. No longer are you to seek your family's approval for the person that God has for you, because you may be the chosen one. Maybe you're the black sheep. If you're the black sheep, then no one else is going to agree with what God is doing in your life anyway. If you're the chosen one and you're the one saved and walking with God and the rest of the family is not, they're going to always find something wrong about what God is doing in your life anyway. So whenever you walk with God, you have to be ready to leave your comfort zone. Glory to God. You have to be ready to leave your comfort zone. You have to be ready to leave that which is familiar to you, to leave that area that you're used to. You got to be able to leave and move forward and go where God is sending you. Watch this, catch this revelation. Because if your blessing was there, then God would not have to tell you to go. But He tells you to go, sisters, to go.
The Lord bless you with a husband, and he's already over ministry. You don't bring him to the ministry you're at right now. You're stationed or positioned or placed in the ministry, and you're under someone's leadership instead of being under God's leadership. I'm going to say it that way. You're under some man's leadership or some woman's leadership, and they say, I have to check out your mate. If you know that God has brought this man in your life, and brothers, if you know God has brought this sister in your life, then you already have the divine approval. Earthly approval will not be on the same level as divine approval, because God gave you. He gave you the mate. So wives, you have to be ready. And God will open the door and make the way. Now, at first, it might not look like you. You might say, well, how am I going to uproot all of this and go? All you have to do is do like the servant did. When you're in that season, when you're in that place with God, like the servant said in verse 13 of chapter 24, behold, I stand here by the well of water. He knew he was at the place where the daughters of men of the city came out to draw water. He knew that if he was going to seize, God is so good. I hear God saying to me about fishing. A fisherman knows where the fish gather. A fisherman knows what fishing spot to go to. And when they're there, because they have been trained, they know how the tide moves a certain way, how the current moves a certain way. They know where the fish that eat, where they gather at to catch the fish that are coming because of the current. This brother, this servant knew where to go because God was leading him. He knew where to go to meet a woman of God, a woman, period. The daughters of the men of the city. He knew where they would come out to draw water. And it came to pass that the man said to God, the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. He said that she shall say, please let her say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. He said, let this woman be the same one. Let this be the woman that you've appointed for thy servant Isaac, for your servant Isaac, oh God, your servant. And that's how I'll know that you have shown favor or kindness to my master. I'll know that she is the wife. Brothers and sisters, a lot of us have chosen people and let them in our life, and we have not asked God. You've let them in your life, and all of a sudden they've changed. The truth of the matter is they already were like that. The way that you see them now, that's how they were. It's that you didn't see it then, because you didn't rely on God to minister to you through the gift of discernment that you have if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, he lives in you and he lets you see what he sees. That's why he gives us a spiritual language, so that we can speak to him from our spirit, though our human mind don't understand. It's important to consult God before you get in that covenant of marriage with that individual. Because once you lock yourself in, you're locked in. Sure, sometimes we get married and it don't work and we get divorced. I know about that firsthand. And God said in Matthew 19 that it's because of the hardness of our heart. The truth of the matter is there's just some things that we just can't tolerate. We think that we have agape love, but we really don't. Certain things we can't tolerate. I could never tolerate having a wife that is very promiscuous and has affairs with other men. I could never, like what Hosea did, the what he tolerated, I couldn't tolerate that. Really couldn't. Some of you can't tolerate certain things. Some of you women cannot tolerate a man that drinks. Some of you women won't tolerate a man that goes out there and commits adultery left and right. There's some things that we just won't tolerate. So what we need to do before we enter into the covenant of marriage is we need to ask God, is this the one? Some men can tolerate having a woman that they break up with or get divorced from, and she goes and is intimate with somebody else and start to build a life with somebody else, and then it don't work, and then she realizes her error and her mistake, and he realizes his error and mistake, then they get back together and get remarried. Some people can do that. I personally couldn't, but some people can do that. And the reason why, I don't know. I mean, everyone has a different makeup. Some people can do that, but there's some of us that, if you put your hand on our plate, we don't want it. If you put your hand on our fork, we just don't want it. If you drink out of our cup, we just don't want it. You can have it. And if you don't want to throw it away, but the point is you shouldn't have touched. A lot of times people are the door by which the enemy comes in. When two people are married, Adam and Eve were married. God put them together. And look what happened. The enemy beguiled Eve. He tricked her. He deceived her. He had dialogue with her. And she tried to go solo instead of being under her husband's leadership. And what happened? They lost. They lost out. Now we all are paying the price because of that. It is because of one man's sin. Yes, one man's sin. The Bible says that the woman was the one that was beguiled. She was the one that ate the fruit, and she gave it to her husband. He should have never ate it, but for different theological reasons, and we'll cover that at another time, he had to eat it because they were one flesh. They were one. If your right hand, if your right side walks down the street, your left side does not stand still. So your left side goes wherever your right side go. Your right side go wherever your left side go. And so when Eve ate this fruit and she gave some to her husband, he ate. He had to eat because they were one flesh. If she would have ate and he didn't, when God took the Garden of Eden from the earth, then Adam would have been gone also. And Eve would have been here by herself. And that wasn't the plan of God. It wasn't the plan of God at all for it to be one person here on earth by themselves. If that was the case, then God would have never made a suitable helper for Adam when he saw that Adam was alone. But what Adam should have did was he should have defended his wife soon as the enemy walked up to her in the disguise of a serpent, using a serpent's body. Adam should have intervened. He should have protected his wife, and she should have let him. This brother, this servant, this wife that he was praying about for Isaac, look at her character. He said in verse 14, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink." Now, again, he was seeing all this in the spirit because he didn't know that there was going to be a woman walking up with a pitcher on her shoulder. But look what he said. "To whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also." Now, for those of you that are into naming and claiming and thinking that you can declare and decree, listen, he didn't declare and decree this. He was talking to God. Under the anointing, the Holy Ghost was leading him. He wasn't Holy Ghost filled, but the Spirit of God was upon this man and using him to pray this to God so that he would be in agreement with what God intended to do anyway. And verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, before this man finished talking, God already began to answer the prayer." Listen, brother. We're praying for mates. Hallelujah. We're praying for spouses. And the enemy is making it seem like it's not going to happen. But listen to this. Here's some points to get the blessing of marriage that God has for you. And pay very close attention to this. One, you have to be in the place that God tells you to be in. In verse 13, the servant said, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." So I'm in the right place to meet the daughters, to meet the wife for my servant's son. You have to be in the place where God tells you to go. If the Lord tells you, stop doing this and start doing that, let him prepare you, then let him prepare you. If the Lord said, I want to take you, listen, this is very powerful. Those sisters that God has called to ministry, the husband he has for you is already in and over ministry. You are first lady material. And what God wants to do is take you off the bench so that you can be under God's wing and he can train you and prepare you for leadership, because that's where you're going to meet your husband, on the road of leadership. You will not sit on the bench and be blessed by God to meet a man that's already working over ministry, because if you do meet that brother, he will overlook you. Why? Because when a man is in ministry and he's responsible for lives and for many people, then he would desire a wife that is also on the same page. Why? Because the man of God needs help in the ministry. Look at Rebecca. She was on the move. She came to this well and she asked this brother. She asked his brother. Well, actually, the brother approached her and said, and he approached her instead of verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her. So the Lord allowed him to notice her. Out of all the people that might have came, God allowed him to notice her. And it does say that Rebecca came out. It didn't say she and a group came out. It said Rebecca came out. So this was a woman that was used to apparently doing what God told her to do and not needing an entourage. She was a very humble and meek woman, apparently. So here she was. She was pretty. Her character was right. She wasn't promiscuous. She didn't have to be in every man's face. Scripture said that she was a virgin. Neither had any man known her, or neither had any man been intimate with her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. She went to do what she was supposed to go and do. Go fill this pitcher and leave. But he ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." So he was testing her. He put this out there. The Holy Ghost stopped him from praying, and blessed him to notice her. Now you got to catch this. And he ran to meet her. And he threw out what the Lord was just leading him to say to God, that when I say this, please let us say that. So the Lord allowed him to notice her in the midst of their talking. That's another point. Whenever you are before God and God begins to bless you, he'll let you notice the blessing. The blessing is in Christ. The blessing is with God. So you have to get in God's face to receive the blessing, to even see the blessing. Some of you sisters have not met the man of God because you're not in God's face. Instead, you're hanging with the wrong people. Instead, you're connected to the wrong ministry. And when God said, go, get out of the ministry, you didn't want to listen. You wanted to stay because you wanted to be loyal. You have more loyalty to that ministry and to that person and to that leader than you do to God. And that leader doesn't have what God has for you. That's why God is telling you to come out. How can a person who's never been married counsel a person that is married or that's believing God for marriage? How? There's a lot of women that are over ministry that are not married and don't want to be married. They feel, I don't need a man. And the women that are part of that ministry that are believing God for a husband are being discouraged about marriage because the leader is not trying to get married. She don't care whether she get married or not. She's happy with the entourage and the publicity and the position and all of that. And unfortunately, the women that are under her are saying, I want to be like her. No, don't be like her. Be like you. Be like God called you. Because there's some of you that God has called to be married. And you might think that a lot of the leaders that you're in fellowship with want to see you married and progress, even in ministry, but they really don't. And how do you know? Because when God began to move you forward, they will say or do something to try to hold you back. Sister, it's not your time. You're not ready to be married yet. I don't think that God would do this way and do that way. They can't say that. That's why it pays to have a relationship with God. And in our next insert of this series, this edition, we're going to deal with that very issue about people trying to slow you down, people trying to stop you from receiving your blessing. This brother, when he said to her, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little of thy pitcher," she said, "Drink, my Lord, go ahead." And she quickly put down her pitcher and gave him some to drink. She shared with him. She was helpful. She was courteous. Look at her character. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they're full." And then she said, she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw more water and drew for all his camels. So she was very industrious. She was wise. She understood work. She wasn't lazy. She wasn't lazy. And then the man was wondering at her, but he held his peace. He didn't say anything. He was trying to figure out whether this was the one or not. Verse 21 says, "And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." That means he was wondering, is this her? Listen, brother, I'm going to close with this. God said, close with this. Oh, glory to God. It is not wrong, brothers. Brothers in the ministry, listen, my brothers in the ministry, it's not wrong for you to notice a woman of God. There's some women that are trying to kill your character and say, "Every time I turn around, he's interested." I do that. The Lord bless a woman of God to be in my path, and God will say, "Notice her." And I'll look at her and go, "Lord, is this the wife? Is this her?" Because he lets me see the holiness in her. He let me see the godliness in her. That part. And then as the Lord blessed me and I get to know each other and I'm paying close attention, then I started seeing other things that God would allow me to see, whether she tells the truth or not, or whether she always got men calling her, or whether, you know, she's an attention seeker or a position grabber. A lot of women, when they get to see that you're a real man of God, they want to ask you, "Well, how do you make your living? How do you survive?" That's not a good sign. That's a sign of gold diggerism sometimes. Yes, because there's a lot of women that are in ministry that are divas, which God have no divas in his family, and there's some women that are gold diggers. Brothers, you got to be careful, because there's some women that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. God will use you to minister to them on the level you're on. And you know how we do, men of God that are in the ministry. You understand this. You know how when we talk to women and we notice the holiness of her, we say, "All right, well, let's see what level she on." And we talk to her on the level of her being first lady and ministry partner and so forth. And we see just where she is. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to be used by God to feed a woman that God says, "I would bless y'all to be married." Sometimes it's hard to feed a woman that God says that about, because some women have already been brainwashed by certain ministries. A lot of people really don't understand what a real walk with God is like. Oh, brothers in the ministry, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive us for our sins. Please bless my brothers in the ministry that are praying for their wives, Lord. Bless, and I include me in that, please. Please bless all of us men of God that are praying to you for wives. Bring our wife forth in the name of Jesus. Allow us to be protected from Jezebel and her daughters and those false prophets and prophetesses that try to lead us in the wrong way. Lord, please protect us and govern us and guide us. Dispense an angel into our lives to be posted to guard the door of our lives, that the wrong woman don't come in our lives. in Jesus' name. And continue to prepare us for our wife and prepare our wives for us and steer her to our lives. And Lord, when she come, oh, Yadaboshika, hey, Andasakiyadabota, when you send her, allow us to know this is her. This is her. Help us not to settle. Help us not to weigh the pros and cons, but just to look at her spirit and know, like Samuel did about Jesse's sons, oh, those aren't the ones, but there has to be one here because God sent me to this house, to this place. And then he asked Jesse, is there another? And Jesse said, yes, he's in the field. And when Samuel saw David, he knew that's the one. And Lord, please let it be like that with us and the wife you have for us. Please, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And the women of God that you do have praying to you for a husband, Lord, please prepare them and build them up inwardly so that they will be a treasure and a jewel and a virtuous woman to their husbands and not just a woman that just want to be married, just to be married. Please, Lord, minister to your daughters their portion as well. But as you have said, this particular lesson is for the men of God in the ministry because we're calling out to you. We desire a wife. We need a wife. You told some of us, I can't bring you to the next level until I bless you to be married. I thank you for the women that you've allowed me to meet that had potential to be the woman of God that you have for me. But I most of all thank you that you didn't allow me to enter into the covenant of marriage with them because they weren't ready or they just weren't hearing you. Bless my brothers in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for hearing us and for answering us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In order for you to understand this whole point of Genesis 24, you have to listen to all of these editions. This is part two. The next one is going to be part three, and that's going to be broadcast in a couple of hours. God bless you, and I love you in Jesus' name. Look on my Facebook wall, and you'll see the link in which you can send your prayer request to so God can use me to pray with and for you. And there's also a link up there that the Lord can use you to share a love offer with the ministry to help us in the project of ministering to the homeless and making care packages for them. Everything at Dollar Tree only costs a dollar, so your love offering of any amount will be a blessing to help others. Hold not your hand closed, but open it, and God will reward you. God bless you. This is Apostle Allen E. Coleman, Jr. of the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Ministry. And the phone number for prayer is 203-745-8162. You can call 24 hours. You can call right after this broadcast, 203-745-8162. And let's rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Peace be with you.